We're going to continue to look at Jesus Christ as our promised seed. And by way of review, the last time we were together, we learned that according to historical chronological tables, that the world was without a written revelation from God for at least 2,500 years. We saw in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, by things that are made. Then we looked in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, and we saw that one of the things that God made were the stars and the planets and those things that occupy the heavens. We went to Psalm 19, and we saw that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The word continued in verse 2, where it says, day unto day they utter its speech, and night unto night they showeth knowledge. And we've been looking at some of those things that night unto night that they were showing, they were teaching, they were instructing those that were able to understand the stars, the heavens, and to understand the word of God that was written in those stars. Verse 4, Psalm 19 said that their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, in the heavens, hath God set a tabernacle for the sun. He set a tabernacle for the sun. And we saw that the word tabernacle meant the word tent or the word house. We also learned that the signs of the zodiac are also called the houses of the sun. The houses of the sun. We saw that the zodiac is made up of 12 constellations, and those constellations are preserved by names and pictures that date from most remote antiquity. We also saw that whatever the Magi began to observe in the heavens, that they realized it was showing them the birth of just not a king, but a king that was associated with Judah. It was a Judean king. Once we learned that the ancients called many luminary bodies stars, they used the word stars to describe a star, a comet, planets. They called many different heavenly bodies stars. We began to consider the possibility that the star that the wise men saw was not in fact a fixed star, but it was a planet. And we saw that in Matthew 2, where it says the star went before them. Literally, a star, I guess it does move such ever so little, but you would never see it with the naked eye. But a planet you can observe in its daily or yearly orbit around the sun. We saw that planets were close enough to the earth so that they could be seen with the naked eye, because they didn't have these great telescopes that we have today. So there were basically five planets that they could see with the naked eye in those days. We also saw that throughout history, that names and meanings of those names have been assigned to planets. We saw that Venus was known as the bright and morning star because of its prominent position and brightness in the dawn sky. We saw also that Venus is biblically associated with Jesus Christ because He's called the bright and morning star in Revelation 22, verse 16. We saw, for instance, that the planet Jupiter in Greek mythology was the father of the gods. It's the ruling planet, the king planet, the king who reigned over all else because it's the largest planet. We learned that the Hebrew name for the planet Jupiter meant righteousness. And we saw that the coming Messiah would reign as a king who executed righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Then we took a look at Israel's prophecy in Genesis chapter 49. And we saw that Judah, the tribe of Judah, was associated with a lion's whelp or a young lion. And that the scepter, indicative of rulership, would not depart from Judah until a lawgiver came. And we saw that the closest constellation in the zodiac that would compare with Judah would be the constellation of Leo. So Leo is the constellation represented by the lion. We began to question, what did the Magi see that eventually persuaded them that a Judean king had been born, and what was this star? We then went to the first chart, and that first chart is back up on the board. And we saw that on August 12th, 3 BC, the royal planet Jupiter was not only in conjunction with Venus, the bright morning star, but this conjunction occurred in the constellation of Leo, which represented the rulership of Judah. Now, a conjunction is where two celestial bodies come into a path where you can draw an imaginary line from the one body to the other body to the celestial North Pole. And this is where the conjunction happened, and it happened in the constellation of Leo. So you see how Jupiter and Venus intersected, and they intersected on August 12th, 3 BC, and this happened around 5 a.m. in the morning. Star charts and computer programs, if you go and you type this in, and you type in the Palestine area, Persia, this sort of thing, you can actually see this map come back, because these things can be dated with great accuracy. The Magi were taught to observe the heavens, because the word was written in the heavens. And what they were taught about the stars, about the coming of the Messiah, they were taught and they were faithful, and they continued to be faithful. So the first of several celestial announcements that the Magi began to observe was this one here, and that was on August 12th, 3 BC. That's when Jupiter and Venus came into a conjunction, and this conjunction was in Leo. You had Jupiter, the king planet, in conjunction with Venus, the representative of the bright morning star, in the constellation of Leo, which was indicative of the tribe of Judah, because Judah is a lion's whelp. Jupiter representing the king planet, Venus, the bright and morning star, where Jesus Christ is called the bright and morning star. Now, almost a month later, as the Magi observed this, they chronicled it, they put it down, and they set it aside. And a month later, as they continued to look at the stars and continue to be faithful and study these things and watch them, on September 14th, 3 BC, Jupiter came into conjunction with the star Regulus. Jupiter came into conjunction with the star Regulus. Now, Jupiter is the king planet, okay? It's the biggest planet. It's the king planet. Regulus was known as the king star because it is the brightest star in the constellation of Leo. And being known as the king star, it was associated with rulership and dominion, just as Jupiter is known as the king planet. You see, I didn't do all this, but what the way the chart was written out was they would take Greek letters, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, etc., and they would ascribe Greek letters to the stars in the constellations, and the alpha star would be the brightest star in the constellation. So the alpha star in Leo would be Regulus. That would have a little A after it. Then the beta star, the next in brightness, would have a little B. So here we see again Jupiter, the king planet, coming once again into a conjunction. And this time the conjunction is with the king star. And this conjunction occurs once again in the constellation of Leo. So you got the king planet, the king star, And the constellation of Leo, again indicative of the tribe of Judah, coming into conjunction. Now, the Magi are watching this. And this is interesting to them because a whole bunch of phenomenal things are going on in the sky. And their interest is really getting piqued at this point. And they're observing because this is, like I say, almost a month later. Now, the third chart that we're going to look at tonight, as I take this down. And by the way, Nicole and Kim did these. So you have them to thank for our artwork and visual aids, and they really help a lot. The third chart happened about 5 months later. 5 months later. And on February 17th, 2 BC, Jupiter and Regulus came into conjunction once again in Leo. Here's Jupiter, and here's Regulus, the celestial North Pole this way. And they came into conjunction once again in the constellation of Leo. In Leo. This conjunction was not only an astronomical phenomena, but at this time, the moon moved slowly in position between Jupiter and Regulus. Jupiter and Regulus. And it eventually covered Regulus in a phenomena called occultation. That's where a larger body would come in front of another body and would seem to cloak it. So they were in conjunction. Regulus and Jupiter were in conjunction, going this way, and then the moon came slowly, and it got between, and it covered it. And that doesn't happen very often. So that's the third celestial announcement that the Magi saw. And by the time they saw this, they got the scratch in their heads and they began to think something goofy going on in a good way. Okay, because they're seeing these things in the course of 5 months, all of these things that are happening. They saw Jupiter in conjunction with Venus. And that happened in the constellation of where? Leo. That was the first thing they saw. Almost a month later, they saw Jupiter come in conjunction with the king star Regulus. And that happened in the constellation of who? Leo. Then about 5 months later, Jupiter and Regulus once again come into conjunction. And this time, the moon moves in and it slowly covers Regulus in a phenomenon called occultation. Now on May 8th, 2 BC, we're getting closer, we count down. On May 8th, 2 BC, Jupiter and Regulus come into yet another conjunction. And guess where that conjunction is once again? Leo. Yeah, that's right. Because Regulus is the king star of who? Leo. So here you see again Regulus and Jupiter. And at this point, you got a crescent moon down at the bottom here. And there's your conjunction. This was the third time that Jupiter, the king planet, came into conjunction with Regulus, the king star, in Leo within the space of 8 months. By this time, I think the Magi realized just exactly what was going on. And their eyes were more and more fixed at the night skies, and they studied them intently. Could you imagine after thousands and thousands of years, you see one, you see two, you see three, and then you finally get to the place where you say, could it be? Could this actually be what is going on? Could this actually be the prophecy? Are we the ones? Remember Anna and Simeon? Are we the ones we're going to see God's Christ before they die, right? I guess it was Anna or Simeon. Well, wasn't that a wonderful thing that was a promise? But these guys are sitting there and they're saying to themselves, is this actually happening? Are we going to be the generation of Magi after all the generations that went before us? Are we the chosen generation of Magi that are actually going to see this come to pass. Whatever went on in their hearts and how excited they must have been, you know, I guess it's kind of like the birth of your first child, and you don't know whether you're pregnant or not, and then you miss and you miss and you start to this and you start to that, and you're finally getting along till you finally get that confirmation, and oh, you're full of joy. Can you imagine the joy that they were full of? Now, on June 17th, following this Jupiter Regulus conjunction, on June 17th, Jupiter and Venus come into conjunction in Leo. So now again, you got the king planet and you got the bright and morning star once again coming into a conjunction in Leo. And all three are significant, pointing to Jesus Christ. That's on June 17th. Is that what I said? 2 BC? 2 BC. Now, I want to read you something out of page 48 of this book with regards to that conjunction. Okay, here we go. On June 17th, 2 BC, Jupiter and Venus came into conjunction again. Who can remember the first time they were in conjunction? There you go. That was the first, it was the first thing that the Magi started this conjunction, right? On June 17th, 2 BC, Jupiter and Venus came into conjunction again. Between their initial conjunctions, 10 months before August and this one, Venus had disappeared into the light of the sun, but reemerged in the west as an evening star and slowly began progressing east towards Jupiter, which was slowly traveling west. The two planets were on a remarkable course towards each other as if they planned for a rendezvous. So Jupiter was coming this way and Venus was coming this way, and they met at this particular date and came into conjunction. They met in the western sky. Now that is figure 5. The conjunction occurred at the same time the full moon appeared in the eastern sky. Okay? This Jupiter-Venus conjunction was rare indeed, for the two planets were separated by only 0.04 degrees. To the human eye, they appeared to merge into one brilliant, dazzling star. Thus, the two brightest planets in the heavens, the king planet and the bright and morning star, both of which are scripturally symbolic of Messiah, had joined together in what was truly a spectacular celestial event. And as the defining, crowning point, the conjunction occurred in the constellation of Leo, the lion, the ruler of Israel. So this, again, this was the fifth time that they were observing these things, and by this time there had to be all kinds of stuff going on in their heads. There had to be a lot of talk, there had to be excitement, all kinds of things were going on. That's the fifth conjunction. Now, these conjunctions all have one thing in common, and that one thing in common is the planet what? That's correct. And remember, that's where we started to consider as Jupiter as his star. Finally, on August 27th, 2 BC, Jupiter came into conjunction with Mars in Leo. So you have Jupiter here. Actually, it should be bigger because it's bigger than Mars. And you have Mars here, and again, the celestial North Pole. You see them coming into conjunction, and it's in Leo. It's in the constellation Leo. At the same time this conjunction took place, Mercury and Venus were visible in that constellation. So you not only had Jupiter and Mars in conjunction in Leo, but when you looked up at the night sky that night, you were able to see Venus and you were able to see Mercury. You were able to see Mercury and Venus. when you had all of those planets in that area of the sky at one time, you had two of them in conjunction, but you have four planets there. That's known as a massing of planets in astronomy. And to the Magi, to be able to observe Jupiter, because they studied Jupiter, because that's what they said, we saw his star in the east as it was rising. They started to study that star. They documented it when they first rise, and then they started to study that star and watch that star and what it did. That's why they said we saw his star in the rising. Since the beginning, since it rose, we've been watching it, and they saw Jupiter. Now, I showed you that everything that happened in the night sky happened with what? Jupiter. That's what they were watching. It came into conjunction with Venus. It came into conjunction with Regulus. It came into conjunction with, but it was always Jupiter, 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 Jupiter. You understand? And that was the star that they saw from the beginning. That was the one that they watched. They didn't necessarily keep their eye on Mars or Venus or this. They kept their eye on Jupiter, and then they saw Jupiter acting this way with all these other planets and stars. This last time that they observed Jupiter, once again, it was in Leo. It was in conjunction with Mars. And by the way, every time they observed Jupiter here, it was always in what constellation? Leo. It was in conjunction with Mars this time, but they had two other planets in the same area. It was the massing of planets. And it was this last celestial announcement that actually prompted the Magi to get up and leave their home and travel to Jerusalem, and then to search for the one who they said, who is he, born King of the Jews. But this happened over a period of almost a year. And then they had preparation time, they had some travel time, they had to go and talk to Herod. They went that night to Bethlehem, etc., etc. Now, I want to read to you a summary of the six astronomical events in Leo that captured the Magi's attention. Number one was Jupiter and Venus in conjunction in Leo. To recap, that was August 12, 3 BC. It was followed by Jupiter and Regulus in conjunction in Leo, September 14, 3 BC. Followed by, once again, Jupiter and Regulus in conjunction in Leo, February 17, 2 BC. Once again, Jupiter and Regulus in conjunction in Leo, May 8, 2 BC. So you had Jupiter and Venus started off, and they got Jupiter and Regulus, Jupiter and Regulus, Jupiter, you got three right in a row. And they all are in Leo. And the fourth one was Jupiter and Venus in conjunction in Leo. That happened June 17th, 2 BC. That was the fifth one. You had three. What you had was Jupiter and Venus. Then you got three Jupiter and Regulus. One, two, three. Then the fifth one would have been Jupiter and Venus in conjunction in Leo. Then the last one that happened was the massing of planets. And then within those massing of planets, you had Jupiter and Mars once again in conjunction, and they were in conjunction where? In Leo. This final conjunction in Leo with its massing of planet of four planets convinced the Magi that a king had been born in Judea. They began their journey to Jerusalem to find the King of the Judeans soon after this event. With all these astronomical events considered in the light of God's word, the proposal of Jupiter as his star is the clear and only true choice. Its royal significance, its messianic associations, and its repeated appearances in astronomically and scripturally meaningful positions conform to the record in God's word with the birth of the promised seed. So they were the six major celestial announcements that happened that the Magi observed. They were watching Jupiter. They continued to watch it. And by the time they got to this last one with Jupiter and Mars and the massing of planets, Jupiter and Mars being in conjunction, they made preparations and then they went to Jerusalem. Now, they just didn't get in the station wagon and start it up and leave. you know, there had to be permission, I guess. Or, you know, she didn't go into a country. You had to do different things and whatever. And that's what happened. Now, what we're going to do, that's where we're going to end at tonight. But when I finish this out on Monday evening, what I'm going to show you from the Word of God, once again, and from the sky, the heavens, that declare the glory of God. Night unto night they showeth knowledge. I'm going to show you from the Word of God and from the sky once again how that they arrived at a September birth date for the Lord Jesus Christ and what that day was and what it paired off with in the Hebrew calendar and the significance of it. Okay, so that's the six celestial announcements that got the attention of the Magi to finally get on their camels and come ask the question, where is he born, King of the Jews? So, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being able to present it, Father. And thank you, Father, for the simplicity of it and for the great work that's been done, Father, to fare all this effort. The many different men from many different ministries and wonderful, intelligent men that you've given us in this century and in centuries before, Father, that we're able to work these things out of the Word and, Father, the privilege to be able to present it. And most of all, Father, as wonderful as these facts are, the important thing is that Jesus Christ was born, he did come, he did redeem mankind, Father, and that we can praise you for that, and that's still available to us today. And we thank you for your loving Son. We love you, Father. We love our Lord Jesus, and we thank you for being able to celebrate this time of year in remembrance of him, regardless of the date that he was born. We thank you for this in his precious name. Amen.